Okay, welcome to this evening's shiur. This is Parsha. Parsha's Bamidbar. Let's just hook up the Facebook Live thing here.
Am I here?
Okay, so in Parsha's Bamidbar, we're really not going to be talking that much about the actual Parsha itself. I do literally want to talk about just a few words, but there's a tremendous amount of depth that surrounds these few words. If you take a look at the meaning of Parshas in the second chapter, in the book of Bamidbar, the second chapter in the Parsha of Bamidbar, the Torah says, Vayidabra Hashem, Hashem spoke, El Moshe v'el Aaron leinu. To Moshe and to Aaron speak. And the Torah begins to instruct that Ishal digla go'isos v'veis ha'voisam yachlu b'nei Yisrael, that the Jewish people should camp, each flag, each tribe by its banner, according to the insignia of the father's household. And they all kind of camped around the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the center point or the focal point of where all the different Jewish tribes encamp. But what's very interesting is that there's a Medrash here, and the Medrash does a great job in analyzing certain things in the Torah that we would not even think of analyzing. Medrash writes like this, that if you count in the Torah how many times the Almighty God spoke to Moshe and Aaron together, that means ordinarily we find that God spoke to Moshe. Once in a while, Hashem spoke to Aaron, or spoke to Moshe to tell Aaron. That's a better way of saying it. But how many times from the beginning of the Torah until the end of the Torah do we find that God spoke directly to Moshe and to Aaron? That we only find 18 times. 18 times in the Torah we find that Hashem speaks to Aaron and Moshe. Now you may say to yourself, that's wonderful, that's chai. It is chai. But I think there's a lot more that's more depth than that. So the Medrash teaches us, why is it that in the entire Torah, Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron 18 solid times? So the Medrash says like this. For that, teach us that we should have 18 blessings in our Shemona Esrei. We know the silent Amida, the one that we say with our feet together, really nowadays it has 19 brachos, 19 blessings, because that additional blessing, there was one blessing that was added many years later in history. But the actual davening itself, Shemona Esrei, really was comprised of 18 blessings. Three of them praise God, three of them thank God, and 12 of them are requests. That's how Shemona Esrei was kind of instituted, established. But what's so interesting, what's so fascinating, is that the Medrash says, you know why it speaks about Moshe and Aaron? You know why it speaks about Moshe and Aaron together 18 times in the Torah? It's kind of foreshadowing or connecting it to the 18 brachos, 18 blessings that we say in the Shemona Esrei and the Amidah whenever we pray. And it's just interesting. There must be a deeper connection. So what exactly is going on over here? So before we go any further, I want to share with you a very interesting Gemara. How it says in the Sechas Brachos, La'olam yikaneis adam, beis psachim bebeis haknesses. A person should always try to enter two doorways into the synagogue, into the sanctuary. Gemara asks, what does that mean? How do you enter two doorways? Most sanctuaries, most synagogues have one doorway. So the Gemara says, shi'ur shnei psachim. A person should enter and daven at least two doorways, a measurement, away from the door itself. So simply put, it's not smart to sit near the door. People come in, people come out. It's hard to focus. It's hard to concentrate. The Chacham says that actually, this is talking about Moshe and Aaron. It's homiletically saying like this. When a person davens, when you pray in a synagogue, when you pray in a shul, even when you pray perhaps any time, you have to understand that there's two entrance routes. There's two gates that you need to focus on. The gate of Moshe and the gate of Aaron. What does that mean? Have you ever been at the gate of Moshe? Have you ever been at the gate of Aaron? I haven't. So the Sfas, the great Rebbe of Ger, the great Hasidic Kabbalist, says the following. He says, we find in our liturgy, in our writings, the following. Number one, we find a verse that says, Pischuli Sharei Tzedek, open up for me the gates of righteousness. This is directed to God. God, I want to live my life righteously. I want to pray to you. Please open up that gate that the prayer of all the righteous enters into heaven. There's another very similar verse that's the actual exact opposite. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, in Song of Songs, the Almighty says, Pischuli, open up for me, Achosi, my sister, Vayasi, my lover. The Almighty says to us, you open your door. We say to the Almighty, Hashem, open up the gates of heaven. And God says back to us, you up and up for me. What does that mean to say? So the commentaries explain that one thing we have to do is we need to get closer to God. We have to say, you know what, Hashem, we want our prayers, we want our thoughts and our feelings to get close to you. That's when we say, Pischoli Shai Tzedek, open up the gates of righteousness. But there's another way also. Kind of like when we take a step towards Hashem, Hashem takes a step towards us. Or let's say it better. When we take one step to God, God takes two steps to us. That's the second way. So here's something very interesting. Moshe, he brought the Torah. That means he brought godliness from God to us. That's the gate, as if to say, that's coming from the above, from the great spiritual infinity that is God himself coming to us. But we, and this is Aaron's job as a leader of the Jewish people, was to bring the Jewish people closer to God. So Moshe brought God to us, and Aaron brought us to God. It says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, try to be like a disciple of Aaron. Ohev shalom harodev shalom. You love peace, you pursue peace. Ohev esabrios, you love everybody. You make karva la Torah, and you bring them closer to the Torah. Aaron brings us up. And Moshe brings godliness down. That's the flip side. That's Moshe, and that's Aaron. That's the two sides of the coin. As a matter of fact, if you learn Zohar HaKadosh, the holy textbook of the Kabbalah, the mysticism, which I don't learn, at least not yet, but I do learn different books that sometimes quote it. The Zohar says something very interesting, a fascinating thing. The Zohar writes, Moshe Shushvina De'ila. Moshe was the accompanier of God. Aaron Shushvina De'matronisa. And Aaron was the accompanier of the bride. That means to say like this, the Zohar is equating the Jewish people and God like a chatan and a kala, a groom and a bride. Moshe accompanied the groom, means Hashem, bringing God and his Torah into this world, godliness into this world. And Aaron accompanied the Jewish people, the kala, the bride, bringing us, elevating us closer to Hashem. So that is the two flip sides. That's Moshe on one side, and that is Aaron on the other side. So let's just take this thought, put it on the back burner for a moment, on a low flame so it doesn't burn. Let's go a little bit further and segue into something else. And as is Hashem with Hashem's help, at the end we'll bring everything back together and have a delicious main course. So the Torah teaches us like this. Halacha teaches us, Jewish law teaches us, that a person has to pray Shemona Esrei, Yisal Devotion Me'uman. You have to pray while we're standing. And as it says, Vayamo Pinchas Vayipalel, Pinchas stood and he prayed, says the Gemara, Ein Amida El Tfila. Amida, standing, means prayer. And that's actually the name of our Shemona Esrei. Our silent devotion is called the Amida, the prayer that must be said while a person is standing. Yes, if a person is in extenuating circumstances, they can't stand, they're allowed to pray in bed if they're sick. If they're on a plane, they can even pray sitting with their feet together. But the optimal way of praying, obviously, is praying while standing. But more than that, the Gemara says, Amispalo, a person that prays tzarich, a person needs sheyechavin raglo, to make sure that his two feet are together, that his two feet are standing, touching one another. That's what has to happen when a person prays Shemona Esrei, right? And Amar, because it says by the angels, Beraglehem regel yishara. Their legs were one straight leg. So I know there's a lot of cryptic things that we're going to talk about, but at least we can pretend we'll understand some of the things that we're talking. So why do we stand with our feet together? As if to mimic the angels, the malachi. They stand beregel yishara, with one leg. We stand with two legs, but we make those two legs into one. Just this is a little off topic, but it's very interesting. This is a very interesting point, but it's a drop-off topic, but it's a fascinating thing nonetheless. The Talmud teaches us that a non-Jewish person once came to Hillel and said to Hillel, teach me the Torah while I'm standing on one leg. First he came to Shammai. Shammai pushed him up and said, what do you mean? You want me to teach you the Torah while you're standing on one leg? Well, I'm like, what is this, some kind of joke? You want to set a Guinness World Record for the guy who stood on one leg to talk to learn the most Torah? And then Hillel said, no, it's okay. I'm going to teach you the whole Torah on one leg. One leg. He said to him, don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. That's the Torah. Everything else is commentary. That's what Hillel said. What does that mean? Why was the guy on one leg? So let me teach you something fascinating. We're about to read the Ten Commandments. Next week on Shavuot, we're going to read the Ten Commandments. The first five Ten Commandments, the ones on the right side, are between man and God. The five on the left side are between man and man. So each leg of our two legs represents a different relationship. One relates is the relationship between man and God, and the other between man and man. Angels only have one leg. Why? Because they only have one relationship, them and God. They don't have an interpersonal relationship. That's not what angels do. We have both. So this convert comes to Hillel and says, teach me the Torah on one leg. His question was, I want to focus on the aspects of between man and man, the interpersonal relationships. Hillel says, God just throws him out and says, what are you talking about? Is this between Torah as a game? Get serious and I'll teach you Torah. But Hillel understood what the guy was saying. And Hillel said, if you want to understand all of interpersonal relationships between a person and a friend, I'll tell it to you in one sentence. Don't do to others what you don't want others not to do to you. Do to others what you want others to do to you. So that was that. But let's get right back. So the law is that a person has to daven. A person needs to pray the Shemona Esrei while standing with their feet together. Standing and their feet have to be. Now, I want to take a little bit of a journey into something somewhat Kabbalistic or esoteric, mystic, and just teach you something literally in Kabbalah 101. It's not anything great deep. No soda cans are going to go flying around the room. We have nothing to worry about. Just some basic Kabbalistic ideas or concepts. So we know that the Zohar teaches us that God's manifestation in this world is in seven different ways. God manifests his presence in this world in seven different midot, seven different character traits or characteristics. And they go from the lowest characteristic to the highest. Spiritually, the lowest one is number one, and the highest is number seven. What are those seven? They're called the seven midos, the seven character traits of the Almighty. What are those? The first one is chesed. Chesed means kindness. The second one is gevura, or strength. The third one is tiferes, which means beauty or splendor, which is an equal balance between chesed and gevura, giving and taking, restraint and generosity. The fourth one is called netzach, which means eternity, nitzchiut. The next one is called hod. Hod is, I don't know how you translate hod in English well, but hod means a certain splendor or sheen. Then we have yesod. Yesod is foundation. And then the highest level is called malchut, kingship, rulership. Those are the seven different manifestations, iterations of God in this world. So now, we know that, by the way, it says not that much to do what we're talking about, but it has a lot to do where we are. We know that we count 7 weeks of the Omer. Each of those weeks focuses on a different manifestation of God, understanding, connecting to a different manifestation of God, of the Almighty himself. So right now, we are in the sixth week. That's the week of Yesod, foundation. It's a little beyond the scope of this discussion, what those actually mean and how you work on those midot. If anyone wants to know more about it, you can send me an email, and I'm happy to share with you more about this content. Even more than that, the Kabbalah teaches us that these seven iterations, these seven manifestations of God's character trait are also illustrated in the human body. It means each of these character traits corresponds to a different body part. Chesed, giving, generosity, kindness, is yamin, is the right hand. That's why whenever we give something to someone, you give tzedakah, you give someone a blessing, you bless your child, you should do it with your right hand, at least if you're right. Why is that? Because that's the attribute of chesed. That's the attribute of kindness. So that's why we do it with our right hand. Givura, power, strength, is yad smol, is the left hand. There's a reason why it's not our right hand, but again, beyond the scope of this discussion. Tifera, which is beauty, is the middle part of our body. Our stomach, our torso, is called, corresponds to the mida, the character trait of tifera. And then we have two more. We have netzach and hod. Netzach, eternity. Hod, sheen or glamour. Those are the two legs. Netzach is our right leg. Hod is our left leg. Then we have yesod. Yesod corresponds to sexual organs in a person. Yesod. So if you want to know what this week is about, it's about working on a person's sexual self-control and impulses, part of it. And then finally, we have Malchus. The manifestation or the iteration of God in this world is Malchus. Interestingly enough, it's not our head, it's our mouth. Our mouth. Because through our mouth, we have the power to create and the power to destroy, just like the Almighty himself. So those are the seven character traits of Hashem. Those are the seven character traits of Hashem. And those are the areas in our body that correspond to those seven character traits. Interestingly enough, we'll see very soon, that there are some practical applications of this as well. Just to show you this, the Mida, or the character trait of Hod, which is the one we're going to focus on today, Hod is character trait number 5, and Hod means glamour, a sheen, a beauty of God. That is actually an area which is constantly under attack. And the negative forces, the Sitra, Achra, you could call those negative forces whatever you like, they don't like this Mida of Hod, and they constantly try attacking you. As a matter of fact, they try turning Hod around. If you turn the word Hod in Hebrew around, you get the word Daveh. Daveh means wretched. So they're trying to turn Hod, a sheen, a beauty, a glamour, into a wretchedness. That's where Midas Hadin, the aspect of the prosecutional judgment in a person's life, constantly attacks them. So much so that we find that when Jacob, our forefather, is all by himself, and he is separated from his camp, the angel of Esau comes to attack Yaakov. And the Torah teaches us he tries to really hurt him, he tries to damage him, but he's not able to. He only hurts his left leg. He hits it in his left leg socket, and he injures him. And he causes a kind of damage. And because of that, we don't eat Gid Hanasha, which is the sciatica, the area in the hip socket, and that area, to remember the fact that Yaakov was damaged. That's why he was hitting him there. There represent is an area where the din, where the judgment often attacks a person in their left leg. Fascinating. It's the left leg. Let's go a little bit further. If you look at the world that we're part of and you look at history, you will see something fascinating. According to the Gemara, reality, or the world that we live in, is supposed to be 7,000 years. Just like Shabbos, we have 6,000 years of work, of preparation, and the seventh millennia, the last 1,000 years, is Yemos HaMashiach, is the days of the Messianic era, a days of great spiritual closeness to God. Or if you look at the different iterations, Malchut, kingship, which is last and final Midah, when is God's kingship ultimately manifested in this world? In the days of Mashiach, when the world will be much more spiritual. So it comes out like this. When did the Chorban Beis HaMikdash happen? When did the destruction of the temple happen? At the end of the fourth, but through the entire fifth millennium. That's when the destruction of the temple and the subsequent Galut, exile of the Jewish people happened. It was at that point in history. That's why if you open Eicha, the Book of Lamentations, it says the following verse. It says, Alveh Hayah Daveh Libeinu. Because of the destructions of the temple, Daveh Libeinu, my heart felt wretched. The word Daveh is like the word Hod, because it's in the fifth millennium. And the Midas Hadin, the power of strict justice, was able to impact the area of Hod, and it turned into Daveh. It turned into a wretchedness, a sadness, and a life that was very hard. Let's go a little bit further in this exploration, and then we'll bring everything together in its session. Why did that happen? Why was the Midas Hadin able to kind of cut into that particular period of time? That goes back to the days of Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav, the angel of Esav and Yaakov, are struggling, and he hits them in the Midah, in the character trait of Hod. Didn't have an immediate impact. The Jewish people did just fine, but it took some time, and then eventually it settled in. And when did it settle in? In the fifth millennium. Hod became Daveh. So actually, the descendants of Esau. Eventually, it was the Romans that took down the Beis HaMikdash. Edom is the Romans, the descendants of Esau. It took many millennia, but eventually it impacted, and that was Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Second Temple particularly, and eventually Galus, the Edom, the final exile, the Christian exile, the Roman exile, however you want to. I want to share with you something very interesting, and that is the following. The Kabbalah teaches us that when a person dies, the angel of death gets them in their left leg. Now, I don't even know what I'm telling you. I'm just repeating what the Kabbalah writes. That when the angel of death comes to attack a person, he attacks him in his left leg. What's the left leg? We said before, left leg is corresponding to the midah, to the character trait of hod. And really, it would be able to take the person down. See, because you have to understand, the left side of the person, or the left hand, is gevura. Gevura is power, strength, it's relentless, it's ferocious, it's terrorizing. But often, the malach ha-mavis, the angel of death, tries to bring a person down through their left leg. But the right leg beats it out. Because the right leg stems from the right side of the body, which is chesed and kindness. And kindness always outlasts and overpowers negativity. So it comes out that the midah, or the character trait of netzach, which is the right leg, as we said before, netzach means eternity, that overpowers the midah, the character trait of hod, the one that's on the left leg. Okay? That's why we always say at the end of a funeral, Ubila hamaves lanetzach. Death will be erased lanetzach for eternity. But according to this, it means something even more profound. Lanetzach, because of the power of netzach of eternity, death won't eventually. It often doesn't, but eventually, certainly won't have a power or a dominion when a time comes where there'll be just a world of life. There will not be a world of. So that's what we say at a funeral. It's part of the vernacular. Ubila hamaves lanetzach. Death will be swallowed up for eternity. It means to say that netzach, the right leg of a person, which comes from chesed or kindness, that will overpower the left character. Let me just show you another manifestation. So you have to understand something. Moshe represents the right leg. And Aaron represents the left leg. Why is that? Because Moshe is the greatest baal chesed, the greatest giver to the world that we ever had. Moshe brought us the Torah. Aaron trained the Jewish people to love one another, but he brought them closer to God through Yirat Shamayim, a certain reverence or a fear of God, as our commentaries teach us. So it comes out that Moshe's character trait was the character trait of Netzach, of eternity. And look, the Torah that Moshe brought lasts forever. Aaron's was Hod, which is beautiful. Kohen Gadol, when he was dressed, the high priest, when he was dressed in his full garments, was the most splendorous thing, as we see in the Yom Kippur liturgy. We speak about the hod, the beauty, the glamour of the Kohen Gadol. But if you think about it for a moment, Aaron doesn't really have a way to last because the Midas Hadin, the attribute of justice, keeps hitting him over and over. It's only Moshe that saves him. I'll show you this in the Torah. I know it sounds like we're saying a lot of far-removed mystical things, and we are. We find this in the Torah itself. In the book of Korah, in the book of Bamidbar, we're going to read this Torah portion, God willing, in Shul, just a few weeks. In the Parshas Korach, after the squabble, the disagreement, almost the mutiny of Korach against Moshe, so a terrible magefa, plague, yes, a pandemic breaks out in the Jewish nation. And Moshe quickly tells Aaron, go get a fire pan and bring ketores, bring incense, because that has power to take away a pandemic. By the way, early on when people were very scared of the pandemic, which we still should be, but we're not as scared anymore. One of the segulos, one of the meritorious things for a person to say is the parsha, is the section of ketores in the Torah. That's able to ward off pandemics and different types of outbreaks. But anyways, Moshe says, Aaron, quickly, grab this fire pan and try to save. The Torah teaches us the following. The Torah says, Vayamor Aaron, being amazing, people had died already in the plague, and Moshe is trying to stop the plague, starting to stem the plague. So it says, Vayamor Aaron, and Aaron stood, bein amazim ubein achayim, between the dead people and the live people. What does it mean Aaron stood there? So there's a very weird rush, strange rush. Rashi says that the angel of death, who had free rule, was trying to wreak havoc on the Jewish people. And Aaron stepped between him and the Jewish people. And the angel says to Aaron, move. He's like, no. He says, move right now. He says, Aaron says to him, why? He says, because I'm here on a messengership from God, on a mission. Hashem told me to kill these people. Get out of my way. So Aaron says, well, I'm also standing here. He says, well, who told you to stand here? He says, Moshe. He says, who cares about Moshe? He Everything Moshe does is because God told him to. Therefore, I'm on God's side. I'm not moving. The angel of death wasn't so. He says, I'm telling you, you don't believe me? Everything that Moshe does is because of God. Come, let me show you. And he takes the angel of death, whatever that means, to the entrance of the Mishkan of the tabernacle. And there, God's presence is speaking, is conversing with Moshe. And all of a sudden, the angel of death sees that. He goes, oh my gosh, we work for the same team. He's got higher rank than I do. And the angel of death comes out like this. Aaron wasn't able on his own to make the angel of death flee. Even though he had Ketores, this incense, which always had great spiritual power to it, here it didn't. But as soon as he brings Moshe, I work for Moshe, all of a sudden the angel of death runs away. Because you see, Moshe, as we said previously, represents the right Netzach. Netzach is eternity. That could overpower the din, the strict justice that exists in the world. Let me show you another fascinating application. We know that when we sit in the sukkah, so each night of sukkahs, we get a different spiritual guest. The first night we get Avram, the second night we get Yitzchak, Yaakov, etc., etc. Those are called the Ushpizin, or our honorable guests that we have in our sukkah. Each one of those guests corresponds to a different one of the mitos for character traits that we spoke about before. Chesed, Yevura, Feres, etc. The night that we have Moshe, that's the mida of Netzach, the fifth night. The sixth night, I'm sorry, that's the Netzach is the fourth night. The fifth night is the mida of Aaron, the mida, the character trait of Hod. So it comes out that we have Aaron represents Hod, like we said previously, but here we see this clearly. His night represents or corresponds to Hod, the attribute of God called glamour, or the attribute of God that's called beauty or sheen. And Moshe is Netzach, is eternity. As we say, Moshe Emes, the Torah. Moshe is true, the Torah is true, as our tradition teaches us, Emes, Me'eret Titzma. Emes lasts forever. Truth goes forever. Moshe represents eternity, which is there. So it comes out like this. Let's bring everything together. Listen carefully. And we'll try to explain everything together because it's unbelievably amazing. And the depth of the Torah is deeper than one can ever imagine. So it comes out like this. Aaron doesn't have his own slam dunk ability to save, to continue to thrive and exist because of it. Moshe has Netzach. He is the right one. Between the two of them, between Aaron and Moshe, we have Hod, which is an amazing character trait. It's the trait of seeing the beauty of God in this world, seeing God's presence in this world. And we have Netzach, which is seeing it eternally. Aaron on his own can't stand. He needs Moshe. Two of them together, they bring continuity to the Jewish people. As it says in Tehillim, David HaMelech writes, Shir HaMalos, the following song of ascents, Hine Matovu Manayim, how beautiful is it? Shevet Achim Gam Yachem, Yom HaZav, Hine Matovu Manayim, how beautiful and how wonderful is it that the two brothers sit together. And how does that paragraph end? The paragraph ends, Kisham Tziva Hashem Bracha, dear God commanded, blessing life for the Jewish people. Because you take Moshe and you take Aaron, you have a complete life. Aaron can't do it by himself. And even Moshe, to a certain extent, maybe Moshe has eternity, but he may not have such a beautiful eternity. You take the two of them together. You take Moshe, you take Aaron, you put them together, that's eternity of the Jewish people. Now let me share with you something interesting. In the Torah, we find a story. Yitzchak is married to Rivka. They're married for a lot of years and they don't have any children. That ain't good. The Torah says each of them goes and prays. Yitzchak in one corner, Rivka in the other corner, and God listens. As it says in Parshat Toldot, Vayaser, Vayetar Yitzchak Lenochach Ishto, Yitzchak prayed opposite his wife, Vayaser Lo Hashem, and God listened to them, and Vatah Rivka Ishto, and Rivka becomes proud. The Gemara Masech HaSugah wonders that the word Atar, Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem, interesting way of praying. It should say Vayitpala Yitzchak prayed, which is the normal word, Tfilah. What's Vayeas, Vayetar? The Gemara says in Sukkah that prayer is like an atar, ayin tafrich. What's an atar? An atar is a spade. You dig with it. Says the Gemara, what is an atar? Do you turn over the ground with an atar? Says the Gemara, just like the atar turns over the wheat, turns over the ground, so too the prayers of the righteous. They turn over God's attributes of strict justice to God's attribute of kindness, of rachmanis. So it comes out like this. What's the point of prayer? The point of prayer, prayer is like a pitchfork. It's like a shovel. What does it do? It turns over any demon, any strict justice that lives in this world, it turns it over and it makes it compassionate. It turns it into rachamim. So it comes out the whole point of prayer is to take any of the perhaps justice that's standing there against us, any of the strict judgment that's there against us, and to turn it over to rachamim, to mercy, to compassion. So we want to switch it from davel, we said before, from horror to hod, beauty to glamour. That's what tefillah is. That's what it means when it says that the angels stand with one leg. You see, angels are purely rachamim. They support God's throne. God's entire throne supported on rachamim. As we say, Kel Melech Yoshev al Kisei Rachamim. He's like, Kel Melech Yoshev al Kisei Rachamim. The Almighty who sits on the throne of rachamim, of kindness. The angels hold up that throne. They only have one. What's that leg? Rachamim. Absolute compassion. Mercy. Kindness. But we as human beings, we have both aspects. We have our right, which represents chesed and kindness. We have our left, which represents gevura, or power, or strength. And with strength comes justice. And with justice comes judgment. And with judgment is not always a great, wonderful, comfortable response. When we pray, we stand with both of our legs together. Say the Shemona Esrei. It's called Amidah. We stand like the angels. And what do? We stand with both legs together. As if to say that both the right of us, our right leg, and our left leg, as we said before, Netzach, the right leg represents eternity. Hod, left leg represents beauty. One represents Givura, power, or justice. The other represents Chesed, kindness, Rachamim, and compassion. They come together. And when they come together, we have tremendous power. Because you know who we have accompanying us on that journey of prayer? We have Moshe. And we have Aaron. We have both aspects. And by the way, the reason that we find that Aaron is constantly trying to bring people together and to bring kindness into the world is because he represents justice. He constantly tries to be mimatekis of it, to sweeten the justice, to temper the justice. So it comes out with the way we started, everything fits so beautifully like a glove. The Medrash teaches us, as it says in the second chapter in this week's Parsha, Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron are mentioned together 18 times in the Torah. Says the Medrash, those 18 times are why we have 18 blessings in our tefillah, in our Amidah, in our Shemone Esrei, in our silent devotion. What's the connection? Because Moshe and Aaron represent chesed and gevura, kindness and strength. Hod, Netzach and Hod, those two combined things. But when we pray, they come together. When we daven our 18 blessings, we call upon the Almighty who put Moshe and Aaron together 18 times and we say, Hashem, we need the power of both of these leaders. We need both of them. We need your power so that we are able to turn the dove, the fear, the horror that we have into hod, into beauty. You know what happens when we have 18 blessings? We have Moshe and Aaron together. Everyone knows this. What's 18? Chai. It's life. That's what happens. Prayer, a person accesses tefillah, a person accesses chayim, a person accesses. So in this seemingly innocent verse in the Torah, Moshe and Aaron, we don't realize there's tremendous power. There's the power to sustain, there's the power to give life, there's the power to bring God's iterations and manifestations in this world. And as descendants of Moshe and Aaron, we have within ourselves both legs. We have the leg that's able to give us nitzchius, eternity. We also have the elect that's able to give us hope. It should help us. When we pray, we should be able to tap into both of those. And that, even more importantly, this evening's shir should be a zichus refuah shalema for Malka, Chana, Bas, Leah, a woman who needs great refuah. We should pray on her behalf. And hopefully Hashem will take the din, the judgments that are against her, and he'll turn that dava, the worries, into hod, into beauty. And she'll have a refuah shalema. And she'll have netzach, she'll have a longer life, she'll have more eternity, and Hashem as well should answer all our prayers and turn all the deen, all the justice and strict judgment into chesed, into kindness, into rachamim, and compassion, and the Almighty should accept all our tefillos with love. If you don't know yet, it's even worth a trip from Delaware, Michael Moses. You should come tomorrow between 5 and 6. We have a drive through at Torah Links. where we're going to be doing chesed. Forget about the din. We're giving out delicious chalent and ice-cold soda, all for free. It's between 5 and 6 p.m. Drive through. Come back to our links. Say hello to us. Wish us Shabbat Shalom. You get yourself a nice free steaming chalent, some delicious ice-cold soda. I can't think of a better way to go into Shabbos than that. Wishing each and every one of you a Shabbat Shalom.
Thanks, Anne.
Thank you.
Good night.